of here. Da 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 da. I'm no better than you are. I maybe have a certain talent with my art and songwriting and dancing and the show business. But as far as human, I'm just like you. There's no right for me to think I'm better than you.
Michael Jackson is 40 years old today. He's been singing and performing since he was 5, breaking records since he was 11, and to date has sold over 125 million albums worldwide. I'm Pete Waterman. This is Don't Stop Till You Get Enough, the story of Michael Jackson, the self-styled king of pop.
Michael Jackson is one of the leading artists in popular music in the 20th century. He ranks with Elvis Presley and James Brown as one of the great showmen of the rock era.
He unites all races, all ages. He can touch so many different people from so many different backgrounds, and the fans are aware of this.
Maybe 5 or 8 people that have this touch that God put on Michael. You know, Stevie Wonder has it, Barbra Streisand has it, Louis Armstrong has it. Everybody's interested in everything they do, watch every move they make, and hover over every word that comes out of their mouth.
He's a milestone. Sign of distinction is the most important thing an entertainer, a singer, can attain. Is a person that when he sings, the minute you hear his voice, you know him. Michael has that gift.
There's always a new composition with Michael Jackson. You never know what he's going to do next, and you never know exactly how he's going to do it. He manages to keep his public in suspense, and he's a very fascinating person. It's not all make-believe.
Founder of Motown Records, Berry Gordy.
Off the stage, he was a very shy person, and he still is today. But on the stage, he's a master showman. It's hard to believe that that is the same person that you saw a few minutes before he went on stage, and that you will see a few minutes after he comes off stage.
It's the love that I have. It's nothing like being on stage. It's when the lights hit you, and it's a certain spirit you feel. I just don't like coming off.
Quincy Jones has worked on 3 of Michael's albums.
He watches animals, gazelles, so forth. So his body is so natural. It's right straight from the soil. Because he moves just like an animal. So something else comes out of him.
I feel like a lot of performers, they sometimes have seem like they have 2 personalities. Once they get on the stage, they become the performer. And once they're off stage, they're totally different. But a lot of people always walk up to us and say, God, I don't believe it's the same person that's on stage. You don't even seem like the guy. As soon as you get up there, you're crazy. You do all your steps and this. Now you just seem like a regular dude.
Music industry insider, Jonathan King.
Michael Jackson has always been able to take in influences from other musical sources. He starts off and he's got people like Quincy Jones, who are geniuses, working with him. But he then does fit in with the rap singer and all the various other things. Even on the very last album he made, there are still incredible tracks that make me go, I cannot believe this guy, after all he's been through, is still making class music like he is.
Even today, Jackson is still arguably the biggest pop star on the planet. Despite allegations of child abuse and a troubled personal life, he has successfully completed a 13-month sell-out world tour last year, playing to over 4 million people, and notched up his biggest European hit to date with the track Earth Song. But Jackson is, and always has been, more than just a pop star. Not only has he worked with some of the most respected names in the music business, he has also rubbed shoulders with the likes of Nelson Mandela and a whole string of American presidents. However, his reluctance to do interviews has fueled tabloid tales of a Peter Pan lifestyle. This makes it difficult to separate myth from reality. Michael Jackson from Wacko Jacko. Over the next hour, we'll look at the man, the music, and the undeniable mark he has made on the world of pop.
He He became a star very early on, and as a result, I think he's lost a lot of things. He hasn't ever had a proper family or childhood, and I think for Michael, the creative performing side has actually replaced family life. That's what I think is the secret key to Michael Jackson.
It was pretty different being brought up on stage and on tour, and it's not like the ordinary child life. I enjoyed doing it. It was nothing like I had stage parents who showed me to something I didn't want to do. If it was, then I don't think I could have made it this long. I would have overdosed or something.
Michael was born on the 29th of August, 1958, in the small town of Gary, Indiana, the seventh of nine children. His father, Joe, worked as a crane operator in the local steel mill and had a reputation for being a fiery and tough character. The family lived in a cramped two-bedroom house with a living room doubling up as a rehearsal room for Joe's band.
I was 5 years old and started singing around the house. My father had a group called the Falcons, and they were three brothers, and they played guitars and they sang. So there was always a guitar lying around, and my brother Tito would pick the guitar up and he would play. And eventually we would start singing to the plane, and we would sing old folk songs like Cotton Fields Back Home and some of the old Ray Charles stuff and James Brown. And my father saw that there was some talent there. And one day he caught Tito with the guitar, and he got so mad because he didn't want nobody to touch his beautiful guitar. I mean, it was something that he cherished and he laid around as a memory piece. So when he found out Tito, you know, was playing it, he whipped him. I mean, he really let him have it. Then he said to Tito, "Now let me see what you can play." And he meant it. So Tito just whipped out this guitar and started really playing. My father was shocked because he saw some talent there. And we started singing to the plans. And he got a plan to make a group.
Older brother Tito.
Growing up where I did, Motown was the biggest thing that ever hit the neighborhood. That was the thing to dance to, the party to. And we waited for Temptations album to come out. We would buy that record and learn it right away, and all the kids watching us through the window and cheering us on. When the whistling came around, you wanted to begin, but taste and force were justified. You caught the heart, you quit. When we grew up, you traded your promise for a ring. Now just like back to bed.
There was like a big baseball park behind our house. We would hear the roaring of the crowd and the kids eating candy and popcorn. We would be inside rehearsing. But eventually we came through. We kept rehearsing and sweating and rehearsing. And we would do talent shows. We would win every talent show. I mean, our house was loaded with trophies.
Motown chief Berry Gordy remembers the day that Michael and his brothers walked into his office in Detroit in 1968.
They came into audition for me. They had this lead singer. When he sang, I had the feeling that he had been here before. You and I must sing. As if he understood the lyrics and understood what they meant, and he had lived the song, you know. It was just quite spectacular.
J. Randy Tarabarelli, author of the best-selling biography Michael Jackson, The Magic and the Madness.
There's a certain believability to what he is saying because he is a very sincere person. Back when he was singing I Want You Back and Love You Save, and he was only 10, 11, 12 years old, and we actually believed him, even though he couldn't have possibly known what it's like to want a girlfriend back when he was 12 years old. But he convinced us, and we bought those records.